Vasudevaya. Today's the disappearance of Ramchandra Kaviraj, whose name is at the end of this song that we just sang, and it was written by Narottam Das. Although Narottam, he was a contemporary of Srinivas, he always considered Srinivas Acharya the superior, and that Ramchandra Kaviraj was the principal, one of the principal disciples of Srinivas Acharya. But they were friends, very good friends, Narottam and Ramchandra, so much so that he used his name at the end. His name, one could think that the song was written especially for his disappearance. So I'll read a little bit about that verse before the Bhagavatam. Narottam Das Mahashaya has sung Acharya Prabhu Srinivas, please bestow your mercy on me. I pray I might also have the association of Ramchandra. Ramchandra Kaviraj was a disciple of Srinivas Acharya and very intimate friend of Narottam Thakur. His father was Chiranjeev Sen. So it gives history, gives like several pages, but I can't read it all probably. But the idea is, there's some interesting leelas we'll just hear for a little bit. In fact, even in Madhya Leela, especially in Madhya Leela, this the father of Ramchandra Kaviraj is mentioned. Chiranjeev Sen was a pure devotee, very much loved by Narhari Shakar and other residents of Sri Kanga. He was extremely learned in all matters. His wife was very chaste and gentle. His activities were completely transcendental. That's Madhya Leela, 1192. Mukunda, Narahari, Raghunandan, and Chiranjeev were all residents of Sri Kanda, were of one mind and one purpose. Every year they would come to Nilachala, Jagannath Puri, to have darshan of Lord Chaitanya and chant and dance in front of Lord Jagannath during Rath Yatra. Chiranjeev was from a family of physicians. His two jewel-like sons were Ramachandra and Govinda, both Kavirajas, great poets. Later they became disciples of Srinivas Acharya Prabhu and came to reside in Murshidabad. Ramchandra was very handsome, intelligent, perseverant. After his marriage, Ramchandra was carried in a palanquin with his new bride to his home at Kumaranagara. As the procession passed Srinivas Acharya Prabhu's house at Jajigram, he saw the Acharya seated on the veranda of his house discussing Krishna Katha with some of his disciples. Simply upon seeing the Acharya, he felt a strange new emotion dawn in his heart. It was as though he was seeing a very dear friend after a long time of separation. Similarly, Srinivas Acharya, seeing Ramchandra seated in the palanquin, immediately inquired from those who were present with him, "Who is that? What's his name? What caste does he belong to, and where does he reside?" That's from the Bhakti Ratnakara, that statement. His associates replied, "He's a great scholar of the name Ramchandra. He is a very excellent poet as well as a physician and resides at Kumaranagara." Hearing this, Acharya Prabhu simply smiled. Ramchandra Sen, still seated on the palanquin after seeing Srinivas Acharya and hearing his sweet voice, became extremely anxious to meet him. After a short time, the procession reached the house where much pomp and celebration took place. Everyone was overjoyed to see the new bride, Ratnamala, and a great din and bustle ensued in welcoming her and her bridegroom into the new home. Ramachandra's mind, however, was still back at Jajigram where he had seen that divine person. With great difficulty, he somehow or other passed the whole day there, but with the fall of night, he returned to Jajigram where he passed the night in the house of one Brahmin. With the approach of morning, he came to Srinivas Acharya's house. He fell down at the Acharya's feet and offered his prostrated obeisances. Srinivas Acharya Prabhu had similarly been continually thinking of Ramchandra ever since he'd seen him the day before. Seeing Ramchandra again, prostrated before him, he picked him up and embraced him in deep ecstasy. Then he told him, "Birth after birth, you are my most dear friend. In the same way that the Lord caused my meeting with Narottam Das in Vrindavan, he has also reunited me with another dear friend." Ramchandra stayed with the Acharya and studied the literature of the six Goswamis under his tutorship. The Acharya Prabhu was extremely pleased to see his gentle, polite behavior and his deeply spiritual nature. On the next auspicious day, he initiated Ramchandra with Radha Krishna mantra. Then it's a little interesting because Ramchandra was actually, because of his grandfather's influence, his parents had died, but his grandfather was a Shakta worshipper, so he was living with all these Shaktas. They worshipped Shiva and Durga. After some time, Ramchandra returned to his house. When the Shaktas saw he had been initiated into Vaishnava religion, they became very upset. Ramchandra, however, was undaunted. With tilak on his body in 12 places and a japa mala in his hand, he sat down in front of them and he began to chant the holy name. One day, as Ramchandra was proceeding to his house after having taken his bath, his Shakta neighbors called him, "Kabiraj, without worshipping Lord Shiva, how is it that you're going home? Your grandfather was such a great devotee of Shiva. Have you given up Lord Shiva's worship?" Ramchandra replied, "Lord Shiva and Brahma are the incarnations of two of the material modes created by Krishna. Sri Krishna himself is the source of all incarnations. Therefore, by worshipping Krishna, everyone's worship is performed. Just like watering the fruits of the tree, all the leaves and branches become nourished. Prahlad, Dhruva, Bibhishan, and others were all dear devotees of Krishna. Therefore, Lord Shiva and Brahma were naturally favorably disposed to them. Whereas Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Banasura, and other demons were only devotees of Lord Shiva and not of Krishna. Thus, their ultimate end was to simply be destroyed. The Shastras say that Lord Brahma was able to create the world due to having successfully worshipped Vishnu. Similarly, Shiva has become qualified to invoke auspiciousness in the world because he received the foot wash water of Vishnu, the Ganga, on his head. Having heard these various statements from the Shastras, those scholars remained speechless. Ramchandra became very anxious to have the darshan of Vrindavan and the Goswamis there. He petitioned Raghunandan and various other Vaishnavas for their permission, which they readily gave. Thus, on the next day, he set out for Sri Vrindavan Dham. After passing through Gaya, Kashi, and Prayag, he finally arrived at Mathura. There he took bath and some rest at Vishramagat. Having taken darshan of Adi Keshava temple, he started for Vrindavan. At that time, Srinivas Acharya was present in Vrindavan. Ramchandra offered his prostrate obeisances at the lotus feet of his guru and Jiva Goswami and conveyed the good news of the devotees from Gaudadesh. As ordered by Jiva Goswami, Ramchandra took darshan of Sri Govinda, Sri Gopinath, Madan Mohan, and Sri Sanatha Goswami's samadhi. He then offered his respects to Gopal Bhatta, Lokanath, and Bhugarbha Goswami, who were very pleased with him and offered him their benediction. Hearing some samples of his great poetic ability, everyone decided to present him with the title Kaviraj. After remaining in the Goswami's association for some days, they finally instructed him to return to Gaudadesh. So he returned, visiting Sri Khanda, Jajigram, Kandahar, and Kalna on the way. And then there's another famous story. I'll read a little bit. One time, some smarter Brahmins made a conspiracy to defame the name of Sri Narottam Das Thakur Mahashaya. They were very upset that though he was only a Kayasta by caste, he accepted those born in Brahmin families as his disciples. They enlisted Raj Narsingha and the conquering pundit of Rupa Narayan in a crusade to somehow expose Narottam Das as a fraud. In a large party, they made their way to Kateri, where Narottam had his headquarters. Coming to know of the conspiracy, Ramchandra and Sri Ganga Narayan Chakravarti came forward to meet the challenge. They journeyed to Kamarapur, where they each set up two small shops in the market, a pan and a betel nut shop, and the other a store selling clay pots. When the party of smartas arrived at Kumarapur and sent their disciples out to purchase wares for cooking the meals, the students came to the shops. The shopkeepers, Ramchandra and Ganga Narayan in disguise, spoke to them in Sanskrit and began to raise a philosophical dispute with them. Seeing the profound learning of these two shopkeepers, the students were dumbfounded, but nonetheless took up the challenge. After a short time, however, it became obvious that they were no match for the shopkeepers, unquote. They called for their gurus, who arrived on the scene with Raj Narsingha and Rupa Narayan. Rupa Narayan himself was drawn into the debate and defeated by the Bhagavad-based arguments of Ramchandra and Ganga Narayan. When the king requested their introduction, these two shopkeepers informed him they were two extremely insignificant disciples of Narottam Das Thakur. Having met defeat in this village marketplace, Rupanarayan and the Smartas were no longer interested in proceeding on to Kateri. Their crusade evaporated as they all decided to return immediately to their respective homes. So the I'm going to say something on Gopal Bhatta. So. I was just actually noticing in the end of Madhya Lila, where Kaviraj Goswami is offering respect to the six Goswamis, he left out Gopal Bhatta Goswami there, because Gopal Bhatta was so humble, he said, don't use my name. So he hardly ever uses his name, maybe once, but he didn't use it there at the end of the Madhya Lila. And then he gave a nice sloka at the very end, where it probably gave a very heavy purport at the end of Madhya Lila. That ati rahasam gorlilam taridam ati rahasyam gorlilam ritam yat kala samudaya kavar nadritam tara labhyam. Basically, that says that he has prepared this Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, for the devotees, but those who are envious, like hogs, they won't appreciate it. Kala samudaya kavar nadritam, they won't accept it. They won't like it very much, but that's too bad. They can just be happy with their foolishness. So Prabhupada says in the purport that everyone, maybe it's not that purport, but the one before, about grains, that if one eats simply grains, it's the verse before, if one eats simply grains, he didn't say whether it's prasadam or not, but if he simply eats grains and doesn't eat the nectar of the Chaitanya Charitamrita pastimes, then he will dry up without taking that type of food and eventually go away. So it's important, probably stressing, hearing about these pastimes. And these pastimes of these devotees, tadiyanam, in relation with Krishna, non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These are all important things. So that's a long story, the Gopal Bhatta, but we'll hear a little of it too. How Lord Chaitanya went to South India when Gopal Bhatta was just a boy, Gopal, and he stayed there for 4 months. So Gopal Bhatta, he had the fortune of staying with Lord Chaitanya as a boy for 4 months. And his father and his two uncles, his one uncle is Prabodhananda Saraswati, and Venkata Bhatta is his father, and then the Tirumala, the three of them, and Gopal Bhatta, they got continual association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Rangakshetra, they'd never seen anything like this. And, you know, if you're the head pujari of Sri Rangam, it's like the biggest temple in India for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's a very important position. They're very elevated persons that worshipped Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan. And they're very much in this awe and reverence mood. So then Mahaprabhu had so many pastimes with them and converted them to worship Krishna, especially Gopal Bhatta and his uncle, his guru, Prabodhananda Saraswati, who's actually an incarnation of Tanga Vidya Gopi. Okay, so let me get to the part about Gopal Bhatta. So it says here, after remaining in Venkata Bhatta's house during the 4 months of the rainy season, Chaturmasya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prepared to continue his journey of the south. Venkata Bhatta's house began to ebb in a tide of tears, anticipation of his departure. Gopal fell at his lotus feet in a dead faint. Mahaprabhu remained for a couple more days in order to console the boy, being pleased with Gopal Bhatta's sincere service and devotion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated him and ordered him to move to Vrindavan after the disappearance of his parents and perform bhajan and then write. He instructed him to serve his mother and father, always engaged in chanting the Lord's glories, and then come to Vrindavan. Very quickly, Gopal became expert in grammar, poetry, rhetoric, and then began his study of Vedanta. His uncle, Prabodhananda Saraswati, specifically began to instruct him from the devotional shastras. Gopal Bhatta always remained thinking of the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and when he might again be able to meet him. At the same time, however, he couldn't leave his aged mother and father. Finally, having reached their final days, they called their son Gopal and instructed him to go to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. Then, while meditating on his lotus feet, they themselves went to join him in his eternal lila. At the age of 30, Gopal Bhatta Goswami came to Vrindavan and having missed Lord Chaitanya, was greatly saddened. Thus Gopal went for Vrindavan, and then he arrived. When he arrived there, Rupa Goswami immediately sent word to Mahaprabhu to inform him of Gopal's arrival. Mahaprabhu had previously indicated to Rupa and Sanatan that Gopal Bhatta would one day come there. So upon his arrival, they treated him with the same care and affection they would their own brother. They immediately became lifelong companions. However, the all-knowing personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, received word that Gopal Bhatta had come to Vrindavan. He was very pleased and sent with that messenger the Lord's personal wooden sitting plank, hoki, which he had used along with a pair of his undergarments and one of his upper cloths, uttara. Having received these gifts, Gopal Bhatta was in ecstasy and he worshipped them as the tadiya prasad of Mahaprabhu. He would sit on the wooden plank, and Mahaprabhu's clothes are still being worshipped at the Radharaman Mandir. Gopal Bhatta, like Rupa and Sanatan, had no fixed residence and would spend the night in various groves, kunjas. He spent his time studying the Shastra and composing various literature. After Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, Gopal Bhatta Goswami felt intense separation. To relieve his devotee, the Lord instructed Gopal Bhatta in a dream, "If you want my darshan, then make a trip to Nepal." Then there's a long story about how he obtained his deity. Read that later. Chapter 30, verse 26, 27, 28. One of the most important verses in the 10th canto is here in this group of verses. So I'll just chant these, or you can chant it with me. Tais tai padais tad padavim. Anvichant yogato bala. Badbapadai suptani. Velokyarta samabruvan. The gopis began following Krishna's path as shown by his many footprints. But when they saw that these prints were thoroughly intermixed with those of his dearmost consort, they became perturbed and spoke as follows. Kasyapadani chaitani yataya nandashununa amsanyasta prakoshtaya Karino Karina Yata. The gopi said, "Here we see the footprints of some gopi who must have been walking along with the son of Nanda Maharaj. He must have put his arm on her shoulder just as an elephant rests his trunk on the shoulder of an accompanying she elephant. Anayadarito Nunam Bhagavan Haridishvara. Yano Vihaya Govinda Pito Yamanaya Draha Anayadadito Nunam Bhagavan Haririshvaraha Yano Vihaya Govinda Pito Yamanaya Draha. Aradita, perfectly worship. Nunam, certainly. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Hari, Lord Krishna. Ishvara, the supreme controller. Yet, inasmuch as na, us, vihaya, rejecting. Govinda, Lord Govinda. Krita, please. Yam, whom? Anaya, led. Raha, to a secluded place. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that the word Aradita refers to Srimati Radharani. He comments, the sage Sukadeva Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep her name hidden, but now it automatically shines forth from the moon of his mouth. That he has spoken her name is indeed her mercy. Thus the word Aradita is like the rumbling of a kettle drum sounded to announce her great good fortune. Although the gopis spoke as if jealous of Srimati Radharani, they were actually ecstatic to see that she had captured Sri Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes the following detailed description of Srimati Radharani's footprints as given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Ujjvala Nilamani. At the base of the large toe of her left foot is the mark of a barley corn. Below that mark is a disc. Below the disc is an umbrella. Below the umbrella is a bracelet. A vertical line extends from the middle of her foot to the juncture of her large and second toes. At the base of the middle toe is a lotus. Below that is the flag with a banner. And below the flag is a creeper together with a flower. At the base of her small toe is an elephant goad. Upon her heel is a half moon. Thus there are 11 marks on her left foot. At the base of the large toe of her right foot is a conch shell. Below that a spear. At the base of the small toe of her right foot is a sacrificial altar. Below that an earring, and below the earring is a spear. Along the base of the second, third, fourth, and small toes is the mark of a mountain. Below which is a chariot, and on the heel is a fish. Thus altogether there are 19 distinguishing marks on the soles of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. So I think I have to do the next verse. Danya aho amiyalyo. Govindam yabja renava. Yan brahmesha rama devi. Tadhur mudyaga nuttaye. Translation. O girls, the dust of Govinda's lotus feet is so sacred that even Brahma, Shiva, and the goddess Rama take that rust dust upon their heads to dispel sinful reactions. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, who quotes from Shastra, each day in the late afternoon, as Krishna returned from the cow pastures with his cowherd friends, great demigods like Brahma and Shiva would come down from heaven and take the dust at his feet. Great personalities like the goddess Rama, the wife of Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma are not at all sinful, but in the ecstasy of pure Krishna consciousness, they feel themselves fallen and impure. Thus, desiring to purify themselves, they blissfully take the dust of the Lord's lotus feet on their heads. Magyana tamaranda shaganam jana shalakaya chakshuna militam jena tasmai shri gurave nama shri chaitanya mano bhishtam stapitam jena bhutale svayam upakada mayam dadati sapadam tikam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse is revealing Radharani, this particular verse. And Vishwanath explains, Aradita refers to Srimati Radharani. So it's hidden, camouflaged within this 10th canto, Radharani's name, because sometimes there's complaints. In other Puranas, Radharani is spoken about, if you read some, I looked it up one time, that because my friend Kusha Krata had translated certain chapters from Brahma Vaivarta Purana, and Canto 1, certain chapters. So I was always wondering, or I wondered sometimes, how many cantos are there in this Purana? And why did he only do those? Because I used to ask him certain things. I had a chance to ask him quite a few things, but I never asked him that, and he left his body. So, because he always had an answer. Certain, like I asked him about Hari Bhakti Vilas, so a lot of people wouldn't agree, or have spoken to people who don't agree at all, but he said, I said, why did you did certain chapters in Hari Bhakti Vilas, but you didn't do other ones? And he said, the other ones, they're not for us. Something like that. He was a very eccentric avadut, but so he said like that. Other people don't agree with that. So, but anyway, what he said about the Brahma Vaivarta Purana was that, he didn't say anything, actually, I never asked him, but when I read it, I looked up an old translation. I saw that there were four cantos, and one was about Shiva, one was about Durga, so you could see why he wouldn't do. But then he only did several chapters, maybe 8, 10, from the Brahma Vaivarta, maybe 12, I forget. And when you look at the other ones, they're very, 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 very erotic. The whole thing is about Radha Krishna. It's extremely, I mean, if you read it, but then Brahma Vaivarta Purana is also a Rajasic Purana, so it's got Radha Krishna in it. So we have to understand, there's so many things in the Shastra we have to understand through our acharyas. And even in reference, sometimes there's references here to Ujjvala Nilamani, that even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was not very keen on people speaking publicly on these books, like Govinda, Govinda, Lilamrita, if one happens to read. But then we find that some people are reading these things and they get the, without taking it from Prabhupada, that's why I could understand one angle of the that we might want to read through these. Because this is something that some of the senior Gaudiya Math sannyasis mentioned also, that they didn't avoid reading it, but they would read through it. They didn't discuss it in that much in depth. Not always. Prabhupada many times mentioned this. These intimate, like we hear the footprints of Radharani and exactly what's on them, and that's, we can know that, memorize it as nectar. We can have pictures of it or something, put it up. There's nothing wrong. But we notice we don't show the feet of Radharani one time a year, and then it said that this was something that was introduced not by Prabhupada but by some other pujari in Vrindavan, showing the feet once a year. Somebody asked me the other day, I'm showing Radharani's feet not very well painted in my painting here, so I really couldn't even recall that if we hid the feet in the paintings, I was going to go back and look at some old paintings or find a letter or something. I'm not sure about the paintings, but generally we understood that Radharani's feet are hidden. So if they're hidden, then what do we know about Radharani's feet? Even Sukadev Goswami, he was not speaking directly about Radharani in detail. One gopi, it is said, Bhagavan Harishwar, she pleased, Pito Yam Anayadra, and then, so these gopis are speaking like that. Later on, we hear more from Radharani, and she's speaking to the bumblebee, and transcendentals, speaking with Uddhava, and lamenting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also appeared to give us a glimpse, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti. He's none other than Radha Krishna. And that also tells us something. If someone picks up the Bhagavatam, he buys a Bhagavatam, that's nice. Let's say he got this, you know, what's he going to think? It's a similar situation when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even when he was a householder, he was worshipping his deities, but he was crying in ecstasy so much so that he couldn't do his puja. People would say, oh, Nimai, you're not doing the puja. No, others can do. I cannot do. Because he was crying, you know, the tears would come out like syringe. He would soak his cloth. He'd have to change his cloth after a few minutes doing the puja and chanting his slokas, and he would cry in ecstasy. He couldn't perform a puja like that. So he is the person, Shikshartam Eka Purusha Purana, Vairagya Vijanija Bhakti Yuga Shikshartam Eka Purusha Purana. He's the original supreme person, Purusha Purana. Purana means old. not only old, but eternal person. And through him and his disciplic succession, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're able to get a glimpse into what Radharani's mode of worship is, why she's being taken away, why the gopis don't even qualify. It's seemingly envy, and they're seeing some kind of transcendental jealousy here, as mentioned. But of course it's not, and that's explained in this purport briefly. But so we understand through, in this song we sang today about the acharyas, gradually, especially if one can hear, like if you listen to Prabhupada chant some of these songs, every song, hopefully we listen to every song that we can hear the Prabhupada singing. Many times, well, there's different moods, but many times there's this feeling of ecstatic separation. Akshepa, Gora Pahu Nabajiya Mainu. That Narottama singing, this similar song we sang today, that Narottama is feeling ecstatic separation from Ramchandra Kaviraj, from all this Rupa Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunasi, Jiva Gopala, Bhatta Dasa Raghunasi. And he had the association of Jiva Goswami and Gopala. Some of the six Goswamis were there that he got the association. So that we can feel. Chariya Vaishnava Seva, Nistara Paichi Keva. Who is there? I think this is also Narottam Das is saying that. Chariya Vaishnava Seva. Chariya means to give up. Give up or not accept in the first place. But though anyone who hasn't accepted or has given up the seva of the great Vaishnavas, especially our six Goswamis, Rupa Raghunatha Padehoi Vyakuti, Kabe Hamahera Bhashi, Jugala Priti. They won't be able to get an idea of Jugala Priti, which is what we're hearing about now. The relationship Radha Krishna and how they're interacting. Because these Goswamis, they have seen personally and understood and been instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Kaviraj Goswami also had association of such persons. And he's given it to us in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Vrindavan Das hasn't given so much of this. He's given more early pastimes in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. We get more of our transcendental philosophy in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the introduction to one of his books, you can understand, even through the translation, that he was actually amused, dismayed, and amused that some present or contemporaries of his, they had formed one society and they were going to, their idea was Chaitanya Bodhini or something, that they would now take the teachings of the six Goswamis and get the essence of them. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying, that's very strange. He found it very strange. He mentions it two or three times. That Kaviraj Goswami has already understood, completely absorbed, and given us Chaitanya Charitamrita with all the Siddhantas of the six Goswamis. And these people are on their own, without going through Kaviraj Goswami, now they're going to take the essence of the six Goswamis literature. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur found it rather... He was bemused. I don't know what the word would be, but he was kind of joking, because you can see what happens when they do that. You have the Aal Baal Kartha Bhaja, Gauranga Nagari, Shaki Beki, so many apasampradayas sprung up as a result of not going through our line, disciplic succession. Therefore, Rupa Raghunatha Padi. We have to always study Akhoi Byakuti, Kabi Hama, Shivindavan Dham, that Vishaya Chariya Kabe Shuddha Habe Man, Kabi Hama, Shivindavan, Kabi Hama, Hairava Shivindavan. I will see Vrindavan only when I can become enthusiastic to study the literature of the six Goswamis. Today is Gopal Bhatta, his appearance day. He also wrote, not as much, but he was. He didn't want to be known to do anything, which is kind of a mystery. But according to the line of Gopal Bhatta, actually he never had any children, but the Pujari there had children. So they say that they're in the line, of course. The Goswamis in Radharaman Mandir According to them, that Gopal Bhatta, when he came from South India, he'd already, or when he came to Vrindavan, by the time he got to Vrindavan, he knew 300 shastras by heart. That means 300 shlokas, not 300 chapters, 300 shastras. We can only guess what that means, you know. Mahabharata, I mean, try to memorize that. Whatever he knew is like inconceivable. So therefore, he was such an important person. He didn't want his name, don't mention my name. You know, so Kaviraj Goswami was like, he took that seriously. He took it very seriously. So in one place, maybe he mentions Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So when you see that his name is there with Hari Bhakti Vilas and other shastras, he was helping Rupa and Sanatan. He's a very important person. But all the six Goswamis, even Jiva Goswami was chastised for debating with Rupa Goswami. Didn't feel this was appropriate that he should debate. One man came to get the Jayapatra. That he has conquered Rupa and Sanatan. They were famous. Like Madhavendra Puri, he was delivered by the Pujari, the kheer. He was sitting in the marketplace. Who is Madhavendra Puri? Who is Madhavendra Puri? Krishna has saved this for you. He said, oh no. He dragged it. He said, this Brahmin, he's going to tell everybody that Krishna has saved this for me. I better get out of here because people are going to come and start worshiping me. So he ran off from that place, Ramuna. He went to Puri. By the time he got to Puri, everybody already knew about it. He must have been qualified. So this is the qualification of the six Goswamis, that they weren't seeking any type of fame, adoration, what to speak of prophet. Takwa sudusya surep chitara jalakshmi takwa tonama shesha mandala pati sara tuchavat. They gave all this stuff up. Tuchavat, most significant. Prabhupada was on a walk. He used this word and he spit when he went, insignificant, not interested in anything material. That's why Pujito, Sharanyakaro, we worship them. Because Shri Gauranga Gunanavana Vido, Shadhash, Sangridhan Vido, they're completely imbued with full enthusiasm and faith for worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And why is that? Radha Krishna Anandena Mataliko. They're mad with Radha Krishna love. And they're getting it through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Prabhupada said, we don't jump ahead. Nobody should jump ahead. We have to worship our acharya. How Prabhupada has given. He said, I have not done anything special. How many times did Prabhupada tell the same thing? I'm getting, you have done such great. I have not done anything, Prabhupada said. No, I have simply giving what my Guru Maharaj gave and what all the acharyas have given in our line. Savaragaman Maya Maharnavaya, ocean. The parampara that's coming and giving the ocean of ecstatic transcendental knowledge. Saragamamnaya Maharnavaya Namo Pavagaya Parayanaya. So that's all we have to do. So therefore in public meetings then even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he was invited by an old friend who was a doctor who had retired in Radhakund and invited him to his place in Radhakund. So when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta entered that place with several other associates, they were reciting the Rasalila. So therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta just left. Later on, that man saw Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and said, oh, Swamiji, why you have left? Well, you came to my house, I saw you came to the door and you left. He said, well, I'm not qualified to hear this this Rasalila. I'm not qualified to hear. Of course, we know that he could recite the entire Chaitanya Charita by heart, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. He used to sometimes recite whole chapters to his, sometimes, disciples on rare occasions. And then he would become stunned in ecstasy and report it. Not that he wasn't, but he, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he's giving the In Shikshamrita, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he says, he describes in brief the Astakalya, the various eight times of the day that one should worship Krishna and think of the different pastimes. He said, but I'm not giving in detail. As far as I could see, I've not seen that anyone is qualified really, but I'm giving it. So I have to be pretty intelligent to understand these things in relation. Who should understand and who's qualified? Not that everybody is. So it's almost time to take questions now, if there's any discussions. Okay, should the microphone.
Not too much of a question, but we finally touch on the lone force that actually indirectly mentioned the name of Srimati Radharani. This is the only force in Srimad Bhagavatam. What's the force again? What's the number?
28, 10, 30, 28.
Yeah, that's
it's quoted in it's quoted in the Ram with a conversation with Ramananda Roy.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada wrote a whole book before he even came to the West called Search for the Ultimate Goal, or Ramananda Sambhad conversation with, he wrote it as a, and he gave some, a lot of the Bengali, and he quoted all the big verses. You can read it somewhere. It was printed. I'm not sure if ISKCON printed it, or I think Jagat Guru and Nrisimha Maharaj found it. Prabhupada never even talked about it or remembered it, but he found it in Prabhupada's, in Vrindavan. He found it somewhere and then printed it. And it's on the database now. So it's a, you know, really a great book, you know. Prabhupada didn't even, I mean, mostly it's all covered when you read even in more detail in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 8, it's all covered, but still, there's a different, certain flavor, a different, little different. It's worth reading it if you think you're advanced enough. It's nectar.
What's the name of it?
Search for the Ultimate Goal. Search for the Ultimate Goal. It was Lord Chaitanya searching for the ultimate goal by asking Ramananda Roy different questions. And Ramananda Roy keeps saying over and over again, well, I don't know how I'm speaking this. First of all, I've never heard anyone ask questions like this. But since you asked, and then he, and Lord Chaitanya empowers him to speak, the Lord Chaitanya is accepting him as guru. Therefore, he quoted that verse that we heard a few weeks ago, Jai Krishna Taptaveta Se Guru Hoy. Anyone, he says, well, I'm a Sudra, and you're a Brahmin. This is ridiculous. I'm a Sudra, and you're a Brahmana. Sannyasi, and how am I speaking? Is it not, is something wrong with this picture? And Lord Chaitanya just laughing and said, no, no, just keep speaking. I know you can speak. And then he would just speak more and more. Obviously, he wasn't taking credit, but Lord Chaitanya is showing that a Sudra can instruct the highest Brahmana, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although, what kind of Sudra, we don't know. He was a king with 1,000 associates when he would come to bathe. It wasn't like the Sudras that we know today. It's just that special type of sudra. Anything else? You got the mic?
So here again, we can also see that how...
It's on, it was on.
Chaitanya and Charitamrita supersede the other scriptures because it deals with these higher topics, with the gopis and Srimati Radharani.
In fact, Prabhupada specifically says in one of the purport, well, in this book that I mentioned, that only foolish rascals think there's something different between Hari Bhakti Vilas and what Lord Chaitanya says. In other words, Lord Chaitanya says, Jai Krishna Nyasi Keni Noi, what is it? How does it start? Kiba vipra kiba nyasi sudra keni noi. Even a sudra, if he knows the tattva siddhanta, he can speak. Because in Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's some difference. So Prabhupada knew that there's some difference there. Therefore he mentioned it. Because actually some people, when they read Hari Bhakti Vilas, although they may have surrendered to Prabhupada, then they think, wait a minute, Prabhupada's not a Brahmin. Because in Hari Bhakti Vilas there's some indication about Brahmins and some of the shlokas. Prabhupada covered that topic. So for those who are interested, they can read that. They can tattoo it on their forehead when they look in the mirror. Anything else? Okay. Jai.